From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made in 116 days, June 29th of this year, when RTS launches essentially its new version of itself, a system designed under what's being called Reimagine RTS. The goal is to meet the varied public transportation needs and expectations of residents throughout Monroe County. And in our region, it's no small task considering the current design of the city and the surrounding areas. Reimagine RTS includes the use of new technologies and service plans and a lot more. This has been going on for coming up on 3 years now. A lot of thought, planning, public outreach, and there's a lot to talk about this hour. We're joined by RTS CEO Bill Carpenter, who will discuss the work that is underway, what else customers can expect to see when they ride the bus, including mobile fares and payments, electric fleet, and more. He'll answer your questions. We've already had quite a few come in, and we'll get to those coming up here. But Bill Carpenter, first we'll say welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Evan, thanks so much, and I really appreciate your focus on active transportation on this show, and I look forward to having a very educated audience today.
Coming up on 3 years since the launch of Reimagine, and you're now, as you told me before the program began, 116 days away. How much more work has to be done before you're ready for that launch?
So our project plan had about 1,300 tasks in it. There's still probably 500 tasks left to do. And we'll probably end up with a project plan with 1,400 tasks in total. The more you get into it, the more you realize, have we thought that through and what else needs to be done and how can we make sure our customers know more about this aspect? What we're rolling out is very innovative as far as a system, but we're using software and other technology and pushing those vendors to do some things they've never done before. So when we roll this out, it will really make a dramatic difference for our customers.
So we're going to go in detail into all of these categories, but give me the big headlines on the biggest changes that are coming our way in the next few months.
95% of our customer trips are done in the urban core, and that will change so that the buses run more directly, they run more frequently, and they do the same thing 7 days a week. So more direct service. When you get on the bus, you'll be getting off the bus sooner. We're adding crosstown routes. And the biggest piece to it is our 10 busiest routes will run every 15 minutes between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every 30 minutes on Saturday and Sunday.
As opposed to what now?
We do what's called in the industry headway-based frequency, meaning how infrequently should we come so the bus is reasonably full. And so the time between trips changes throughout the day. Commuter times, morning and afternoon, they run more frequently. Middle of the day, evening, less frequently. So it's very difficult to plan the trip. You really need to have a schedule, and then the buses do something different throughout the day. Might have 40 trips from downtown to the end of the route. 30 of them do the same thing, and 10 of them do something different. So we're going to really simplify the system. And then the crosstown routes. There'll be a bus on Ridge Road between Grease Ridge Mall and Skyview on the Ridge. So if you're on the north side and you want to get to the lake, all you need to do is get on that route and then get off at St. Paul, get off at Lake Avenue, and take the bus down to the lake. You don't have to go down to the transit center, transfer to a St. Paul or a Lake Avenue bus. There'll be a bus from Skyview on the Ridge at Culver and Ridge and Irondequoit that will go down to Parcells in the city, go down there to Goodman, to Elmwood, to Strong Hospital, to MCC, to Marketplace Mall. So if you're trying to get to Pittsford Plaza, you can take that bus, get off at Monroe Avenue. Again, no need to transfer downtown. But the ability to go from East Irondequoit to Henrietta on one bus is something that can't be done today. And then we're adding another crosstown route from the Wegmans on Lyle near Long Pond, down Lyle across the bridge there, Upper Falls Boulevard, so that if you're trying to get to Jordan Health Center, it's one bus. You don't have to go downtown and transfer. If you're trying to get to social services at St. Paul in the bridge, you're there. And if you're on the east side, there's a lot of dense housing. You're trying to get to Wegmans, trying to get to other locations along Upper Falls Boulevard, one trip. And then we're adding the infrastructure, adding shelters for those where those crosstown routes meet the frequent routes, so our customers have a better experience on the bus, a better experience waiting for the bus.
How many shelters do you think you'll add?
We're adding two shelters that are heated and lit at each of the connection hubs, and we'll talk about those in just a minute. And then we've identified 17 locations for these transfer points. What we want to see is what's the ridership like at each of those transfer points, and then accelerate installation of those shelters as we see what the ridership is.
Listeners, if you've got questions or comments about what's changing with RTS, you can call the program. It's toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And Bill, I want to ask you before we kind of dive in specifically, when you are looking at what's changing, if I have $100 a month to spend on groceries and I decide some of what I'm buying at the grocery store works, we'll keep it the same. Some, I don't think it's really working for me. I've got to make some changes. Now, if you told me, look, you got 50 more bucks a month to spend, that's easy. I can just add whatever I want. But if you tell me you have to change your diet, but you got to stay on $100 a month, you got to reconfigure, I have to really plan it out. How much of this is RTS saying, we have roughly the same resources, we're going to replan what we do here based on feedback, and how much additional funding or resources have you been able to expect to use with this launch of Reimagine?
So that's a great question, Evan. We went into this after several years of limited increases in state funding. So we told the consultant, design a system with the resources we have. And what they've done is to take priority. We interviewed 12,000 customers. They told us we want frequent service, we want direct service, we want consistent service. And that's a network that we're putting out there. Last year, we were successful in the state budget to get a 9.6% increase in our state operating aid, and that makes up about half of what we get. So it works out to about a 5% increase in overall funding. We turned that around and added 9% more service hours to this new system than what we have today. And so, geez, you got 5% more. You did a 9% increase. Bill, how did you do that? Not magic, but great people doing great things for the community. So it's giving where we have our highest ridership, a much better experience. And then those places like Brockport and Webster, I'll talk about those. Monday through Friday, 40 years ago, we provided great service. We'd go to those communities 20 times a day. We're down to 10 times a day, hearing from people, you don't go frequently enough. I can't, my child is sick, I can't get back in the middle of the day. Those areas will now be served 7 days a week from a connection hub for the Webster-Penfield area. The connection hub will be at Baytown Plaza. And from Baytown Plaza, you can get anywhere you used to get on a 40-foot bus with a smaller vehicle on demand. We'll have a transit app. The bus will pick you up at that connection hub, take you curb-to-curb where you want to go. But if you live in Phillips Village and you're used to waiting every 2 hours to go to Wegmans, get off at Ridge Road, walk to Wegmans with your groceries, walk back up to Ridge Road, you'll now be able to call for that on-demand vehicle, get dropped off at the Wegmans curb when you're done shopping, have that vehicle take you back home. A much better customized service. Spencerport, Brockport, the same thing. Five areas that have 40-foot bus service now running infrequently will have on-demand service for their transit.
I want to make sure I understand what on-demand means. So define on-demand.
So think Uber for a geographically constrained area. If you've used Uber, you call and it says the vehicle will be there in 3 minutes, 10 minutes, yep. 15 minutes. But I don't have a smartphone. Well, then you can call and schedule it. You can go on the internet and schedule it. You can schedule 12 hours in advance. You can say, hey, I need to be picked up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You call in the morning. My child needs a ride home from school from West Irondequoit to where I live in Irondequoit. So you can schedule the ride or just with an app, with a phone call, and we'll say, yep, the vehicle will be there. Here's a license plate number.
How much advance notice do you need? If you're doing an on-demand scheduling, I mean, and I say, oh, no, I need something in an hour. Am I going to get it?
So just like an Uber ride.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay. Not a 40-foot bus, per se. Which would sort of be silly.
Right.
But what kind of vehicles are we looking at here?
These are the transit vans. Sometimes you'll see Amazon. You'll see other delivery people. It's a high headroom vehicle with a lift. So if you're in a wheelchair, you have mobility limitations, we can get you on the vehicle. But it's smaller so that it can get in and out of side streets. We'll seat 8 to 10 people, up to 3 wheelchairs. Very accessible vehicle. The vehicle will have our mobile ticketing app on it. It will be a great experience for the customer. It will be the picture of it. You'll tell it's an RTS vehicle. It's not like an Uber or Lyft car where you're trying to read the license plate at night. Distinctive RTS look. It will stay in a geographically constrained area, and I like to talk about Irondequoit because I think people know where Irondequoit is. Anywhere north of Ridge Road in Irondequoit, start and end of your destination. So you want to go to Seneca Park Zoo, you can go. You want to go to Town Hall, the library, you can go. You want to go to the movie theater at Culver and Ridge, you can go. You want to go to Rochester General, oops, that's south of Ridge Road, and we're keeping it geographically constrained. But you can then take it to Portland and Ridge Road, pick up the bus on Portland Avenue that'll run every 15 minutes, and complete your trip. So I had a senior citizen call when this was passed and said, I understand the bus to Seabreeze is not going to run from September to May. And I said, that's right. Most people want to go to Seabreeze when the park is open. He said, how will I get my pharmacy prescriptions? I said, well, you're going to want to call this smaller vehicle on demand, pick you up at your home, take you to the pharmacy. Then when you're done at the pharmacy, go back home. And she goes, oh, wait till I tell my friends. This is a better solution than what I have today. And I think many customers, when they get past that concept of change, difference, I'm going to have to change my behavior, will say, boy, this is a much more modern, this is a better customer-focused system.
The Uber-ish experience of RTS.
The Uber-ish, yes.
How much will a trip cost?
The trips will be $1 a ride, $3 per day. And so what that means is if you have a trip from downtown to Brockport, right now, I know you can take it on one of our buses that run infrequently. Out to Brockport, you'll pay $1, and you want to get back, it's $1, it's $2 a day. If you want to use us beyond that, you want to buy an all-day pass for $3. In the future, it will be take the bus to Rochester Tech Park. That will run every 30 minutes from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then from Rochester Tech Park, you'll have a connection hub that's heated, has electronic information. Call for a ride, we'll come pick you up, take you to your destination. That'll be another $1, but then the total is $3 all day. And so for the college students that want to run to Walmart from SUNY Brockport, they'll be able to go to Walmart, then go to Wegmans, back to their dorm. Total trip is $3. They want to go again in the afternoon, they've already paid their $3. It's $3 a day or $1 a trip to use the whole system.
You mentioned a couple of things here. The launch of a mobile app and mobile ticketing. Mobile ticketing is going to start in May?
May 6th, we will launch an app where a person can buy their fare on their phone. And just like you see at the airport, there'll be a barcode that comes up. You'll flash it. You'll pay it. The technology will keep track of the dollar per ride. It'll be capped at $3 for a day. And it'll be capped at $56 for a month. So people will no longer need to buy a monthly pass. Right now, people, beginning of the month, will spend $56, buy a pass that's good for 30 days. Sometimes they get sick. They don't use that full month's worth. And I say, geez, I feel like I invested and didn't get a good return. Some people only use it maybe 15 times. It's $45. But the convenience of just going once to get a pass is better than having to buy a daily pass each day, bringing $3 on the bus. You'll just load that, your phone app. We're also introducing, for people without a smartphone, a reloadable smart card. So they'll be able to add money to a ticket vending machine. And again, $1 per ride, $3 per day, $56 per month. You just load it. As you use it, the balance will come down when it needs to be reloaded. You just add to it a smart card at a vending machine, your phone, just through an app. And if people want to pay cash, they'll be able to continue to pay cash at $1 per ride.
So it's mobile ticketing launching May 6th then?
May 6th. Along with a transit app to be able to, so we'll begin to introduce it. It won't have the on-demand feature loaded.
Till the end of June?
Till June 29th.
Yep.
But on May 6th, that transit app, you'll be able to plan your trip. And that trip will also allow you to see if I want to do this by Uber. If I want to rent a Pace bike, you'll all be able to see how to do that right on the app, integrating the mobility options in one location.
Look for the RTS app?
It's a transit app.
It's
used by over 100 transit agencies. So just like Uber, you don't have a Rochester Uber app, and when you go to New York City, it's a transit app. It will have our system. If you go to the MTA in New York City, you open it up, it will have the New York City information as well as 100 other transit systems around the country.
RTS CEO Bill Carpenter is our guest for the hour. A lot of changes coming your way with the launch of Reimagine RTS on June 29th. Mobile ticketing launching on May 6th. Let's grab our first phone call. It's Miguel in Rochester. Go ahead, Miguel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I used to ride the bus a long time ago, and ever since the bus station came out, it seems like we're paying more for public transportation, twice even. So I'm wondering how the taxpayer dollars that went to building this public bus station is forcing the public to pay twice as more. I don't understand how it's actually helping people.
Hi, Miguel. I appreciate that question. So some people, about 8% of our customers before we opened the transit center, got on a bus on the east side and went to the west side, and they didn't have to get off the bus. And what I ask them is that the only time you used it was to go one way and the other way? You paid $2 all day. And they said, no, I rode other times. And I said, so then you paid $3 all day. Because the most you pay today is $3 all day. We do make people get off the bus at the transit center. 92% of our customers before got on the bus. They didn't go through downtown. So there were a small percentage, like yourself, it sounds like. But if you used us more than two trips a day, if you used us three trips, then you're paying the same today as you used to. And on a day like today, you probably wouldn't mind waiting out on Main Street. But I remember a couple Fridays ago when it was 8 degrees outside, and I was glad our employees and our customers had a climate-controlled facility with restrooms, with security, with customer information, with a lot of technology to be able to transfer for their trip.
Well, I mean, I don't know how the statistics are created, but a lot of the times you'd have parents who would like need to catch the bus from the east side to the west side, like you would say, to either go to daycare and to take these kids to school, but you can't take into consideration a lot of the people who are not taking surveys, a lot of people who are afraid to take surveys or just believe that these surveys are just skewed to make the company look good. But one thing I know for sure is it's starting to get a lot more expensive to live in Rochester now, even if you take technology or a heated facility into consideration. And you speak about security, it seems to be more dangerous now to be downtown and catch the bus than it is before with the children. And now we got the Catholic Family Center right there. You got more drugs. I just don't understand. It seems like the people are paying more financially and physically for this transit bus station. And you talked about the app. It seems like we're big brothering how people pay now instead of just, it just seems like, I mean, I've been in Rochester for about 20 years now, and I love it here, but I'm starting to see why people are leaving here because it seems to be more about profit than progression.
So Miguel, let me just kind of jump in and make sure I understand a couple things before Bill follows up. But when you, first of all, just kind of picking one by one here, when you talk about the app, you don't have to use an app, I don't think. I mean, certainly, if you're not comfortable using mobile technology, you don't have to do that, right?
But you're right, but it seems like we're, like, putting people in a position now to have no choice but to get a smartphone in order to, like, utilize everyday city things, whether it be like going to Strong Museum. They got apps for that now. There's apps for almost everything now.
Well, and look, and I'm with WXXI, and we have an app, and I can tell you the reason we got an app years ago is because there was such public demand for it, and it would have been a mistake for us not to do that. I take your point that you feel like you have to now. And that's one of the reasons that there's talk about whether the internet should be a public utility or internet access and things like that. But best I can tell, and I'm not trying to sort of shill for RTS here, I'm a journalist after all, but I mean, I think they are responding to demand. I do want to understand your concern about safety a little bit more and let Bill respond to that. Do you feel like there's less safety than there was, Miguel?
Yes, totally.
Okay.
So I appreciate that's your perception. I'm confident that the mayor and the police chief and as CEO for RTS, I will tell you there's fewer incidents today than there were before we opened the transit center. We certainly had a period of adjustment when we first opened, but please come down, go through the transit center. You said that you used to ride the bus. Please come down, take a look. I have monitors in my office that take a look at the transit center concourse when I'm in my office and I have time to take a peek. But it is a facility that's well appreciated by our customers. Much better experience than being out on Main Street, waiting in hot weather, wet weather, cold weather. I will tell you, transit systems around the country come in and it's the envy for other transit systems. They feel this is a transportation center for bus customers as opposed to a glorified bus stop, which is exactly how it was designed. Many people say it looks like an airport for bus customers, a train station for bus customers. So great facility. I go back to your concern. If the mother and child are taking their child to daycare, then the mother gets on the bus with the child or the father gets on the bus with the child. They used to pay $1 for the mother, 50 cents for the child, go across town. And then if that parent went anywhere else, they were spending $3 a day to buy an all-day pass. Today, it would be $3 for an all-day pass. And then for the child, it's $1.50 for an all-day pass. So they might be paying 50 cents more in that example. And I do know I have customers that used to pay $2 a day. They pay $3 a day. That's not why we opened the transit center. It's an unintended consequence. And then we have thousands of people that regularly thank me for the experience they have waiting inside the transit center, particularly 11 o'clock at night, midnight, 1 in the morning, used to transfer buses on an empty downtown street. Now you've got security, restrooms, climate-controlled. That's a decision that was well-planned and working great for our customers.
What's your monthly ridership?
Monthly ridership, 1.2 million customers a month.
Okay. What was it, say, 5 years ago? Do you know?
Not offhand, Evan, yeah. Sorry.
Is it more or less?
We're trending pretty stable. So I think we were at 16,000. We're at 15,000 now, something like that. So I can't remember.
16,000 to 15,000.
I'm sorry, million. 16 million
I'm
to
sorry,
15
million. Yeah, okay.
And I don't remember if the 16 million was at 6 years ago or 4 years ago. But it's essentially the same.
Largely stable. Okay. Do you expect it to go up with the changes?
I do expect the changes we're making. Right now, someone who gets home from work at 5:30 and says, I want to run to the store, and the bus isn't going to come for 30 minutes, says, I don't have an hour and a half to do it. Now to have a bus, it's going to be going one way 15 minutes, coming back 15 minutes later. Boy, that's a trip I can make. Weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, those buses will run every 30 minutes instead of every hour. And then the on-demand service, 7 days a week in Brockport and Webster. We don't go to Eastview Mall on Sundays today. We will under Reimagine. We expect that ridership to be greatly improved as well. So,
Susan wanted to know, do you take the bus for actual transportation to get to work, to go to a doctor, to go out to dinner?
Great question, Susan. When I have to go downtown, I take the bus. I live in Penfield in an area that doesn't have very good service. I have taken the bus to work to see what the ridership is like, what the experience is like. In the current system, it's not easy to give up a car or to go from a two-car household to one-car household. When we redesign the system and the buses run more frequently, consistently, 7 days a week, it will be easier for people to make that choice.
Susan also wanted to know, does RTS have plans to make the transit center more friendly, she says, putting in a cafe kiosk, something more akin to Union Station?
So that's another question that I get reasonably frequently. We don't like hot coffee on the bus, so we don't serve coffee, although you'll see we have Coke and Pepsi and some snacks at the transit center. If you come through at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and watch the crowds come through, the space does not allow for us to put some type of cafe, newspaper stand. That entire concourse is busy with people trying to get from one side to the other or from coming and going. There just isn't the footprint for that.
Okay. Adrian in Rochester wants to know, are we ever going to get a downtown circulator?
I would love to have funding for a downtown circulator. I've met with this mayor and prior mayors about a downtown.
Define a circulator for the audience, if they don't know.
Thanks, Evan.
Yeah.
So what we've talked about doing is having a bus that would do what I call a figure eight throughout downtown. So if you start at Four Corners downtown, whether you consider that State and Main or St. Paul and Main, do a loop on one side so it would circulate to the train station. It would circulate to Gibbs Street and Chestnut, to the downtown office buildings, and then go to the west side so it would hit City Hall, county office building. Parking lots throughout so someone could park away from downtown, get on a circulator, could go from the county office building to the east end for lunch. That type of a bus that would stay downtown and circulate to the destination points, MCC, downtown campus, etc. The cost for that, depending on the frequency that you want, is anywhere from $1.2 million to $2 million. It's not something that we're ready to take other buses off the street. But if there's dedicated funding for that kind of project or robust transit funding so that we're getting people to jobs throughout the geographic area and we have money left over to do that type of circulator service, we're very interested in doing it.
Let's get our only break of the hour. We're going to come back with RTS CEO Bill Carpenter. We've got a lot of questions from you, listeners, as Reimagine RTS is launching on June 29th. That's in 116 days, but they have a lot of things happening. In the meantime, you'll want to check out, especially in May, if you're interested, opportunity for mobile payment. You'll be seeing more of that on the app. He's talking about what I sort of called the Uberish RTS, the on-demand service that is launching in the end of June. So a lot of changes after about 3 years of work and public feedback. Questions, if you've got them, 844-295-TALK. You can email the program connections at wxxi.org. We're right back with Bill next. Coming up in our second hour, initially, we had booked a conversation with delegates from the Biden, Sanders, Warren, and Bloomberg campaigns. But since we booked those guests, two of those candidates have dropped out of the race. Bloomberg and today, Elizabeth Warren leaving the race. That leaves essentially two, Biden and Sanders. We're going to talk about where those supporters go next and what they think about the state of the race next hour. This is Connections. Next on the phone with Bill Carpenter's Joe in Rochester. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Mr. Carpenter. How are you? I wanted to ask you a question about the coronavirus thing. You know, I watch Good Morning America. They show the guys in New York City cleaning the buses. Are we doing something similar here?
We do, Joe. We regularly, I love Dr. Mendoza and his advice to the community. That the flu right now is a bigger issue than the coronavirus. Fighting the flu is something, or those viruses is something we do on a consistent basis. And we're following his advice, making sure we're doing everything currently that we've done for the flu. And then we're doing the preparation. Should the coronavirus come here, we will multiply those plans. But very much following the advice of the public health director, the New York State Department of Health, and the CDC.
Does that help, Joe?
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's something I think we all gotta at least pay attention to, and it's good to hear that that RTS is doing that.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joe. Thanks very much. So, you talked about a circulator. What are the actual odds, do you think, of circulators in the future of this city?
I think as more people move downtown and more destinations come downtown, the opportunities increase. And the other aspect about our on-demand vehicles, which are smaller vehicles, the ability for that type of vehicle to do on-demand downtown. So perhaps it's not a circulator, but would like to be able to grow that business so that we've got those on-demand vehicles, say, during the Park Avenue Festival to help support the shuttle service. When you've got the Jazz Festival to get people from the hotels, I know there's others that do it because we don't, but I think we'll have the technology and the equipment, and we certainly have professional bus operators able to do that kind of work. So we're very interested in seeing that come to pass should the funding become available.
Jason in Rochester is asking, what can employers do to partner with RTS?
One of the things that's, as far as employers go, the biggest constraint we have is when someone locates their business at a destination that has good land, good facility, good parking for their employees, but it's not on a bus route. And then it grows and they find they need 20, 50, 200 people that take the bus, and they call us up and say, gee, we're on Thruway Park in South Henrietta. How come there's no bus service? Well, it's because you have specific shift change times, and throughout the day, you're the only ones wanting to go. In the past, we partnered, we contracted and said, we'll extend a bus to your business location. Today, we're going to be building a connection hub, using that example for Henrietta, a beautiful connection hub near Marketplace Mall in Henrietta. In the future, we'll be able to provide a van pool, or the business can support a van pool from that connection hub to the business. So it's no longer getting someone from downtown to the business, but from connection hubs, whether that's west side from our Rochester Tech Park, the east side from Baytown Plaza. But now it's just connecting to an area where we're going to have good bus service to get to. They can provide the shuttle. They can work with us on a van pool or locate within an on-demand zone.
Okay. Jason, thank you for that question. What about the dream that some of the urbanists have for a streetcar? Is that ever going to happen in Rochester?
We had a great, urban expert that was part of the Community Design Center was on this show a couple weeks ago. And that question was asked. I was at a luncheon event and then at the evening event. What about light rail? What about a streetcar? And she said it's important before you go there to say, what is the community trying to do? What are you connecting it to? And what else could the money be spent on? And I know there's a lot of interest for people to have a light rail. And when I ask about where they want it, I say, well, I'm glad you want it from Charlotte to downtown, because I've heard others say they want it from RIT to the U of R to downtown. But would it connect to the East End? And so is it a line or is it a network? And when you start talking about a network gets very expensive. If you look at the city's 2034 plan, they talk about the reimagine RTS, these frequent routes. Let's watch ridership. If ridership is good, then we go to a BRT line, a bus rapid transit, where the bus has priority over cars to get people from start to finish. And we see, oh, bus rapid transit is working. This is where people want to start and end their trip. Now we can talk about a light rail plan, but light rail solution. Mm-hmm. But right now, just to say, let's do a light rail solution, I don't think you would find people coalesce around where it should start and end.
I want to read a tweet from a journalist named Chris Arnotti, who has spent the last 6 years really working in some of the most struggling parts of our country, the Youngstown, Ohio's, the sort of the Rust Belt towns, and I know that's sort of a pejorative term, but I think for people to understand, he's been just about everywhere, and he's had a lot to say about underserved communities and where they struggle. Here's what he had to say about light rail. I want to get your take. He says, I know I'm ranting here, but stop trying to put light rail everywhere. Buses are great, and most people wanting something else are just snobs who think they are above the lowly bus, end quote. Do you agree with him?
I think that's a person who understands the investment that's required and the life cycle of a light rail system. You look at our city and how it's reinvented itself over time, Kodak Park and Kodak State Street, Xerox Square, Chase Lincoln Bank downtown, and 50,000 people working downtown. Now they're scattered elsewhere. Now we're bringing them back. We're redesigning the bus system pretty inexpensively to respond to all those changes. And perhaps this redesign should have happened 15 or 20 years ago. But a light rail, you can't pick up the rail. We used to have it. People didn't mind when it was gone. I do think that you really need to be thoughtful. The concept of a light rail, that's a nice concept. You need to connect yourself with someone who's going to really give it serious thought. Who's going to use it? What's it going to connect to? And where will the funding come from?
All right. I have to hold your feet to the fire. Are they anti-bus snobs?
Most of the people that I talk to at active transportation conversations. They don't use the bus. They want to get out of their car. They want to have an experience that's more like an Amtrak train.
They want a non-bus, a non-bus non-car experience.
Are they anti-bus? No one's anti-bus. I don't believe in anti-bus.
All right, Senator, that's a good dodge. We'll take it. Before I grab another phone call here, I know that people are going to have questions about where they're going to get information, and that's a big part of what you've been doing is outreach, making sure people know what has changed, where the routes are. What can they see on the website now? What's going to be changing, and how are people going to know what is changing at RTS?
I appreciate that question, Evan. They can go to the website now, myrts.com/reimagine. And what they'll find there is information route by route, what the buses do today, what they'll do starting June 29th. There's an interactive map that they can blow up and look at, okay, I live in Webster. What parts of Webster are going to have this really cool on-demand service that Bill's talking about? Where can I start and end my trip? Beginning in April, you'll see more and more information almost week by week where schedules will be placed there, the mobile app information to download. The route scheduling will be available in June. We've got, on a regular basis, we're holding open houses at the Transit Center, our top destination, so people can get their questions asked and answered. But you'll see a heavy media blitz beginning in May to make sure everyone's aware of it. And as we get closer to June 29th, we will have RTS employees and ambassadors on the bus saying, are you aware of these changes that happen on June 29th? Here's what you should know. Here's how you can download the app. Here's how you can get a smart card. And then we'll be on the bus after June 29th to make sure everyone understands what's happening. We'll have staff at the connection hubs so that the person who has been asleep through this whole time gets on a bus to go out to Four Corners Webster. The bus stops June 29th at Baytown Plaza and says, how do I get from here? We'll have an RTS employee help them call for an on-demand vehicle, get them to their final destination. Customer service will be open till midnight around the hours of around the days starting Reimagine. So we'll have a lot of ways for people to get the information they need.
Okay. Back to the phones we go in Pittsford. This is Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi. This is Councilman Beckford from the Pittsford Town Council. And I just wanted to just to give a little bit of kudos to Bill, to you and your team. Last year, of course, you had your team come in to, you know, hear some concerns that some of the residents had when the initial plan was being rolled out. And I just want you to thank you for not just listening, but you made some key changes that this week when we had our town board meeting, we talked about that and shared that. You know, Council Member Townsend was able to share a map that you were just talking about. And, you know, we had a number of students in the audience there that were coming in to listen to a board meeting and to get the agenda signed for their class, and they were ecstatic because they realize now that they can take this on-demand vehicle to head out to Eastview Mall throughout in the evening or, you know, during the weekend. And so it's just we just want you to know how much we appreciate you listening and implementing our feedback into your new plan. You know, change is always difficult, but I have to say that, you know, what the more we learn about this plan, the more excited we are. And I think my suspect is that as we implement this, you'll get more feedback, and your willingness to change things last year, I expect that'll be there in the future if we end up finding out there's an opportunity to expand maybe even the region for the on-demand service too as well. So just wanted to thank you for that.
Kevin, thank you. Go ahead, Bill.
You're welcome. I appreciate the invitation that the town board extended. And we had about 216 unique recommendations that came in as we went through our system. And here's our recommendation. And people said, well, here's 216 unique recommendations. What Kevin is talking about, and I really appreciate his work at the U of R and what he's doing in the community. But what he's talking about, there were 104 of the 216 that we implemented. You know, we had the best consultants working on this. He had a lot of great frontline feedback. But even as we came out and said, there's ways to improve this. And the Pittsford area is one of the ones that we're able to improve. And I'm real pleased with the final outcome there.
Kevin, thank you. Again, he mentioned he's a member of the Pittsford Town Council. Here's an email from a council member from the town of Brighton, Christine Corrado, who says, first, kudos for increasing frequency on major routes, making the schedules consistent 7 days a week, and for enhancing connectivity between routes and locations other than the transit center. But I still have a few concerns about the service in the region, and she wants to just mention a few here. First, why are RIT and U of R or URMC not served? University ID holders can connect between RTS and the private service provided by the universities, but the general public, those who wish to access the publicly available events and services, or those who are seeking employment on campus or visiting for other perfectly legitimate reasons, cannot get to RIT or U of R by RTS.
So I'll take those one at a time.
Yeah.
RIT is now connected. Originally, the original plan, if we go back a few years, we used to be a very significant financial partner between RIT and RTS. And that has changed with different administrations, different solutions that they've brought up. We now connect with them, have our routes connect with at different places so people can still get to RIT, but we don't directly go there now. With Reimagine, we will be going to the Park Point location through an on-demand vehicle, so we'll continue to partner for large numbers at different transfer points with RIT, but the general public will be able to get out there with the on-demand. And we'll continue to look for partnerships with RIT to expand that. They've got tens of thousands of people. We could literally spend millions of dollars to serve them in the way that many of these people who live around the world are used to in Tokyo and London that come here. And we have very limited service to RIT, but we're trying to serve a different community. As far as URMC goes, they have the best service throughout the community. Specifically for the town of Brighton, there is a bus right now, the 48, that does a very unusual pattern. And the people that use it, that it works for, it's an unusual pattern, and they love it. And we took a look at it and said there's other ways for the community to benefit from that investment. We did work with the University of Rochester, the parking department, for commuter service in the morning to get from 12 Corners Brighton to the U of R, back and forth for commuters throughout the day. Otherwise, there are ways in our system to connect. And then the University of Rochester, the campus, we're trying to go every 30 minutes for the bus that goes to the University of Rochester River campus. It's a 10-minute deviation to go to that campus, and it's 0.4-mile walk from the U of R, URMC, the walking path that students can take to the same point the bus would drop off. And so if you're not a URMC or a U of R student or employee, public transit, it's going to be 0.4-mile walk to get to the U of R campus, the river campus. Otherwise, the U of R has great shuttle service, and we're trying to leverage what they have with what we offer. And there will be some unique people as we do this. We serve about 80,000 unique people a month. There will be some number of people that say, I had it better before. But I think tens of thousands of people are going to be like the last caller said, as I understand it, I'm getting more and more excited. And I think that will be the experience of the great majority.
Okay. She adds on her list here, can you explain if all public libraries in the region are served by RTS routes? Are all public schools accessible by RTS? What about public parks?
So the answer is no. They're not all, and we didn't prioritize those specific destinations. What we prioritized was the origins and destinations that our customers are using and that the community is used to. We interviewed over 12,000 customers. We got on the bus for about 8,000 customers and said, where are you starting your trip? Where are you ending your trip? And then designed a system based on our ridership, based on their surveys, based on Genesee Transportation Council's origin and destination information in the community. And that's how it got designed. There's some restaurants that wish we were going more frequently, some libraries that we serve very well, other libraries that we don't serve very well. But the intent was not to serve the library. It was to serve a route where there's a large volume of people at the start, using the route at the end, that make that trip convenient to do every 15 or 30 minutes throughout the day.
Okay, and briefly she says, regarding intermodal service, can one get directly to arrivals, departures at the airport, and how about the train station?
Boy, that's a great question. You'll be able to get to the train station if you're coming from the north, and a number of routes coming from the transit center. It won't be, say if you're in Henrietta, you'll have to get off at the transit center. The airport is a very interesting dilemma. I would want to be the CEO that has service from the airport to downtown Rochester. But the fact of the matter is most people arriving at the airport aren't looking to go to downtown Rochester. They're looking to go to Paychex. They're looking to go to other locations. And so we have very low ridership currently, even though we have reasonably consistent service. And after Reimagine, there will not be RTS service going to the airport.
A couple more quick questions. Mark wants to know a little bit more about the on-demand service. I think his email indicates a little bit of confusion, and if I didn't make that clear in my conversation with Bill about this earlier, to be clear, the on-demand service, which launches with Reimagine at the end of June, does not mean everywhere. There are zones. On-demand zones, is that the right way to describe it?
There's seven zones.
Seven zones. And are you going to be able to see a map of those zones?
So go to myrts.com/reimagine. We have an interactive map, and it will show you the geographic area. Those zones are the areas where we've got 40-foot bus service now. We're going to stop providing that 40-foot bus service and cover the geographic area that those buses were serving.
Jillian says, I started riding buses this summer because I moved to the Somerville area. I did that because it had bus service downtown till late at night daily, so I can take advantage of the arts without considering parking. I'm told that this service will stop in June and that the on-demand service will end at 10 p.m. No access to the arts would be possible at that point for an evening performance for me. Is that right?
The specific trips, and I know I've been to shows that end at 8, 9, 9:30, et cetera. I believe during the week, a run to Coit is till midnight. I could be wrong. It's on the website. But she's also currently riding a bus that's empty all the way down to Somerville. It's a bus operator and herself, maybe one or two other people. So we are stopping that service past Titus Avenue. And the on-demand service will be on demand.
Until when at night?
Evan, I'll make sure that that's... I don't know the answer. There's seven zones, and the hours differ.
Okay.
I think during the week, Monday through Friday, it's till midnight, and on the weekend till 10 o'clock. But I'll follow up with you, and then you can tweet out the answer.
Okay. Jillian, thank you for that. So in our last minute here, Bill, what else has to happen? I mean, if this launch is going to go as well as you want, you've been getting ready for 3 years, uncountable numbers of hours and feedback and surveys, et cetera. If this goes the way you want, what still has to happen?
There's going to be education for people just to complete the trips they do today. But this system is going to offer people so much more flexibility, so much more freedom. Talk about employers where there's not good public transit. We'll now have nine locations around the community where they can connect to good transit. So it's not from downtown to their location. That's going to help employers. People in the city trying to get to those jobs be much simpler, more frequent service. The crosstown routes change. So some people will start out June 29th, I'm just trying to do what I'm doing today. But the frequency, the consistency, the crosstown routes, the on-demand service, people, seniors will be able, living in Webster, be able to go to a movie. People in Irondequoit that say, hey, let's go to the restaurant there at I Square, and we can have a couple drinks and get a ride home. There's one friend of mine who said, my kid coming home from school, whether it's Brockport, Irondequoit, Pittsford, if you live in the area, why should I go pick him up, pick her up? I'll be able to just have RTS do it. So it's thinking about it differently, more service in the city where people are without cars, better access to jobs, better access on the weekends.
And listeners, we know in our multimodal future, this matters greatly. They'll continue to take your feedback, I'm sure. But as Bill said, you got to educate yourself about what changes are coming. The website to learn more.
MyRTS.com/reimagine, and there you'll learn Irondequoit is till 10 o'clock 7 days a week.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
All right, Evan.
The CEO of RTS is Bill Carpenter, one of the really accessible leaders in this community, and I hope we can have more conversations as they get ready for the official launch of Reimagine on June 29th. More connections coming up next.